Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you. Is that to utilize the information we provide today? Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work life. This is a very special time in our workplace and world when physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health have never been more important. And in conjunction with our health, a very special day, the Great American Smokeout, is going to occur on Thursday, November 16, just a couple of more days later on in November. As such, we are honored today to have with us not one, not two, but three very, very special guests. They are Julia Cuthbertson, Brittany Hale, and Star Sinclair. Julie is a Brooklyn Community Engagement Manager with NYC Smoke Free. Brittany is a Brooklyn Reality Check Youth Engagement Manager with NYC Smoke Free. And Star is an NYC Smoke Free Summer Intern and Columbia University Freshman. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Julia, Brittany, and Star.
Morning.
Good
Good morning.
morning. Great to be here.
The honor is all ours, certainly. Sadly, team, we've only got 30 minutes. We could spend hours talking about each one of your great lives, your experience, NYC Smoke Free, the Great American Smokeout. If it's okay with you, we're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool. Let's start
Perfect.
with Brittany and Julia. Please tell the listeners and me about NYC Smoke Free and each of your exciting roles there. Brittany, why don't we start with you, please?
Perfect. So yeah, as you mentioned so nicely earlier, Julia and I work as the Brooklyn team for NYC Smoke Free, which is housed at Public Health Solutions, the largest public health nonprofit in the city. And NYC Smoke Free, it has some major goals related to reducing tobacco, the initiation of tobacco use and smoking in communities, and particularly with youth. And trying to create smoke-free areas where we live, work, and play. So I work with youth. We run a statewide program for students 13 to 18 called Reality Check. And the goal is really to help students create change in their own communities. We want to focus on commercial tobacco control and vaping and exposing the tobacco industry as malicious targeters of young people as their new generation of smokers. And so we have two out of four kind of main initiatives at NYC Smoke Free that are particularly related to youth. So one of those is kind of smoke-free media. So we know that almost 75% of young people who are using social media have seen some kind of like e-cigarette related post or advertisement or content. And so it's the tobacco proliferation and imagery in youth-rated media and on social media is really, really, really great. Really great as in a lot, not great as in good. And
Yes.
so just to clarify, and so that's one of the main things we want to do is kind of expose that tobacco imagery is influencing the initiation of smoking in young people and, working with teenagers to practice advocacy skills to push back against that. And then the second thing we'll talk about a bit later, which is sort of the access to tobacco products at the point of sale and in the retail environment. So that's kind of the youth component. And Julia can hopefully explain more about what the sort of community engagement side looks
Yes.
like. Thank you,
Please.
Brittany.
So Brittany and I work hand in hand to cover the entire borough of Brooklyn, which is a mighty task. But and so I take care of the community engagement side, and we have two main initiatives, which are smoke-free housing. So this means that we work with buildings of all types to bring their entire building smoke-free. That means that you can't smoke inside units. This is important because studies show that up to 65% of all air in a building is shared. So what your neighbor does in their home can affect the neighbors above, below, and on the same floor as well. And we get calls quite frequently from people, who tenants, who are being exposed to their neighbor's smoke and would like us to help bring the building smoke-free so that they can rest assured that they're not breathing in toxic cigarette smoke in their own homes, right? And the other initiative we have is to create tobacco-free grounds and entryways. And for this, we work with faith-based organizations, with college campuses, and with employers, so that employees and visitors and students alike don't have to walk through a cloud of smoke when they go into a building. It also reduces cigarette butt litter, cleans up the space, and just makes it more pleasant for everyone involved. And together, Brittany and I also work with our local elected officials. So whether it's city council people, state assembly men and women, and also state senators. And so we work with them to educate them about what's happening in their districts, and they help us engage with their constituents as well, which is important because, again, we're only a team of two.
Wow.
So, yes, those are some of the things we do.
Thank you both for your great service to New York City. Certainly, both of you have very, very important roles. Julie, if you don't mind me asking, are there ever situations you actually have to go to a building and try to get people to stop smoking or something to that nature, because smoke's bothering neighbors?
Right. There are, especially pre-pandemic, we were doing pretty much everything in person, and we would do presentations, and we'd be there for board meetings to educate and to be there as a support when they hold their votes. And also sometimes tabling and just being there to answer questions. These days, that's mostly done virtually. So they hold virtual town halls. They do virtual meetings. Which in some ways is more convenient for a lot of people. I liked having the face-to-face interaction, but,
Absolutely.
Different times.
Absolutely. Now, as we said in the beginning of the show, very important day coming up later in November, the Great American Smokeout. Julia, help us out here. Please explain what this is, why it's significant in the fight against tobacco use.
Yeah. The Great American Smokeout was started by the American Cancer Society to encourage anyone who smokes to quit just for one day in order to really kickstart tobacco use reduction and hopefully lead to quitting entirely. We know that tobacco is extremely addictive. It's also a highly social activity, and so it can be quite difficult to quit. Quite a daunting task. But the idea is if you can quit just for one day, then you can check one day off, and then perhaps it'll lead to a second day, perhaps a third, and then it perhaps will lead to a quit attempt. That is the idea behind the Great American Smokeout.
Wow, that is awesome, certainly. Now, do I perceive, even though it's one day, that NYC Smoke Free's initiative really buoyed this one day Tobacco Awareness Day throughout an entire year? Expand on that for us, please.
Absolutely. Well, at NYC Smoke Free, we don't do direct cessation work. So we work more on policies and advocacy around creating smoke-free spaces. We know that if you create smoke-free spaces where you live, work, and play, you make it harder to smoke, which encourages quit attempts. So we're going about it on our daily basis, kind of in a more roundabout way, instead of working with individuals. But we also know that if we can reduce access to tobacco products, as Brittany also mentioned, then we're also preventing a whole generation of starting to smoke as well. And so we're looking at a sort of a global macro level as well.
Wow. Oh, that's terrific. Certainly. Now, of course, Julia, you've had a little chance to chat and enlighten us. Thank you. And Brittany as well. I want to bring Star Sinclair into this discussion, please. Star, share with us about you, please.
So I am from Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in Flatbush, and I went to high school in Bay Ridge at Severian High School, a smaller Catholic school, but definitely still in Brooklyn. And now I currently go to Columbia up in Morningside Heights.
Great, great. Now, do you commute to Columbia or do you actually reside there?
No, I live on campus.
Oh, lucky you. That's wonderful, certainly. Now, if I perceive correctly, there are some health risks associated with smoking and vaping. Are there indeed, and how do these products really impact our youngest members in particular? Share with us all about this, please.
Okay, so vaping is the newest way that Big Tobacco seems to be targeting younger audiences because of the way they advertise it as tobacco-free products in quotations. However, vaping products contain nicotine, which again is very widely known to be addictive. Because young brains in general are still developing with exposure to nicotine, and especially repeated exposure, it can cause cognitive or behavioral changes. Vaping is also much newer than like traditional smoking, so the long-term impacts are a lot less known. However, prior to COVID, the CDC was collecting data on the novel lung disease, EVALI, and there were about 3,000 cases in upcoming young people.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like this vaping is certainly a dangerous thing, no doubt about it. It's interesting because I have heard those same commercials that vaping is a safe way, a safe substitute for cigarette smoking, but doesn't appear that that is the case at all. Brittany, I know that you're an expert certainly about youth smoking and vaping. Tell us about some of the rates in Brooklyn. What are you finding, please?
Yeah, so in 2021, there was just over 2.5 million U.S. middle and high school students who reported using some kind of tobacco product, and just about over 2 million of that were vapes in particular. So it seems to be like they're the most common product that's being used. In Brooklyn in particular, we're seeing about 16% of teenagers reporting use, which at first I'm like, okay, well, one out of five, like if I'm looking at five teenagers, I'm like one out of every five seems kind of a lot. And yet it's also kind of impressive. Four out of five Brooklyn young people are not using it. So I guess it's interesting to think about the positives of that also. Despite that, it seems that like Big Tobacco is becoming like increasingly sneakier and more, specific in masking these kinds of products. I think one thing for folks in the workplace, they used to be really common to take smoke breaks where you would, leave the office to go outside to smoke, which actually increases absenteeism in the workplace. But now we're seeing that, teenagers in particular are getting away with vaping in the bathroom, vaping through their sleeve. And the Big Tobacco is creating, these e-cigarettes that look like highlighters or look like AirPods. So the marketing is becoming even slyer, and students are also in turn becoming slyer as well. And we know that there's, the e-liquid in vapes is very high in nicotine, particularly compared to a cigarette. And when you're not having to go outside to smoke, you're becoming addicted much quicker to much higher amounts of nicotine. So they're having to do it more often. So it's just like a continuous cycle. I think also what we're seeing when it comes to, those one out of five students who might be using vapes in Brooklyn, there seems to be a bit of misinformation about what's in a vape. I think a lot of young people are very certain that combustible cigarettes are gross to them. They have tar and chemicals, but that same understanding of what's in a vape is not there. These are not regulated. We don't know what's in them. They're still containing chemicals, and those chemicals can have major impacts on their brains and their bodies. And yet it's advertised as just flavored vapor, flavored water vapor. And so I think that's really contributing to this, consistent 16% in Brooklyn. And hopefully with continued education, that number will fall.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure it will. Now, maybe I'm naive, but Are there certain minimum ages that someone has to be to purchase vape or to buy a pack of cigarettes in Brooklyn or New York City? I don't know if they're the same.
Yeah, 21. So, yeah, something that was interesting, which I know Star will talk about a bit later, is we did a project this summer where we did some observations at different like smoke shops and other tobacco retailers. And so Star and our fellow Brooklyn co-intern Magnus, we went out to go to these shops and no one carded them. No one asked Star, who's only 18, if she was old enough to go into the smoke shop. So just anecdotally, we see that maybe it's not, you know, there's not a ton of consistent checking of ages. We didn't try to buy anything, so I'm sure, you know, maybe that something would have come up there. But yeah, 21, that's the age.
Wow. So maybe this is a really stupid question. How are people younger than that getting access to cigarettes or to vape?
Yeah, not a stupid question. I think there's a couple different potential hypotheses. You know, one could be that they are going to, you know, the point of sale retail location that's in their neighborhood. 94% of public schools are within two blocks of a tobacco retailer in New York City. So we know that students are constantly walking past these shops. We're noticing, again, anecdotally, that there's tons more shops that are popping up. So that's one way. Also online, I feel like, you know, it's super easy to see an advertisement for something on Instagram or on TikTok. And you know, even the major sort of tobacco or, you know, nicotine product retailers like Juul, like they're not really on Instagram anymore, but other retailers are. And also they're still, you know, there's still influencers and other kind of online celebrities that are advertising these products. So online could be one way. Also just through, you know, peers. I think we know that young people and teenagers are, you know, quite heavily influenced by their peers, and that's one of the ways that big tobacco can target them in particular. And you can get them from your friends who are 21, I'm sure.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I have to tell you, our college, St. Francis College, moved from Remsen Street in Brooklyn Heights to Livingston Street in downtown Brooklyn. It's only about five blocks away. We made the move in September of 21, 22, I'm sorry. But one of the things I've noticed, and I don't know if it's just me, but there seems to be a lot more people smoking the last 6 months to a year. And I'd be very curious, how has the landscape of tobacco use changed in our city, even over the past couple of years? Any thoughts on that?
So I think I know in particularly with youth, we've, you know, over the last 20 years, we've seen a pretty steady decrease in the number of students, the percentage of students who are using combustible products like cigarettes or cigars. But since like the mid 2010s, we've really seen a kind of sharp increase because of e-cigarettes. So we know that there is often you know, a link between the use of nicotine products like vapes and then using other kind of combustible products like cigarettes or hookah. So that could be one reason maybe why we're seeing an increase. Also, you know, just like as other sorts of products have been legalized, there's just more smoke shops which also sell combustible tobacco products. So maybe just accessibility is one hypothesis. I don't know, Julia, do you have other hypotheses for maybe why?
No, that sounds good. But actually, you sparked there was a theory, and I wonder whether you've ever seen this. Have you ever seen youth or other people who've never smoked start with vapes or e-cigarettes and then also start incorporating traditional cigarettes also into their smoking habits? Or have you not seen that? Because there was a theory at one point when e-cigarettes first started to come on the scene that this could, instead of being a harm reduction tool, which was the initial idea, this would actually increase not only addiction to nicotine via vapes, but also a move to actually increase traditional cigarette smoking as well.
Yes. Yeah. There's definitely a link. And that's like why vapes are so, you know, harmful for kids and for teens in particular, because these are not folks who are addicted to nicotine. They're becoming new at, you know, they're becoming newly addicted to a substance that's, you know, a lifelong habit. And I think also, yeah, just when you're starting with something and then it becomes, you know, you're vaping socially, then you start to do other things socially. And then, yeah, trying to use other kind of combustible products might become more normalized. So I have also seen that theory.
Wow.
Interesting.
Thank God for all three of you and this magnificent work that you're doing to save our children and to save the world, certainly. Now, Julie, it seems to me big tobacco companies, and Brittany alluded to this before, have a long history of marketing their products not assertively, but aggressively. You can share a little bit how they're currently targeting our communities and what are the potential consequences of these marketing efforts?
Yeah, well, we've seen this for decades, especially with our more vulnerable communities, and especially with menthol products, which is a big topic these days. For decades, Big Tobacco has targeted our Black communities by giving away free cigarettes, by advertising heavily in Black communities, by giving money and resources to organizations like the NAACP and other community organizations that really need, they need resources, and so they gladly accept them, but then it comes with this darker side, right? So that's why we know that 85% of smokers who are Black are smoking menthol cigarettes. And the danger with menthol cigarettes is that it's essentially a cooling, numbing agent that's added to the tobacco, and it makes it easier to start and harder to quit because you don't really have the harshness of a regular cigarette. So this is just one example, but it's perhaps one of the most shocking and the most deadly at this point. And that's why there's a big conversation around it. And it's a topic that we're working on a lot to just expose these predatory marketing practices in communities that are more vulnerable. We also see them targeting the LGBTQAI plus communities and especially youth as well, right? Because I don't think many young people would say they actually enjoyed their first cigarette, right? It's usually a very harsh feeling. Menthol reduces that harshness and is easier to get you hooked, right? So we also know that that the majority of adolescents who smoke traditional cigarettes are also using menthol.
Oh, wow. This is really unfortunate. Now, fortunately, our loyal listeners here, thank God for money, they love to get involved. Any thoughts as to how they can get involved in local efforts to protect our communities from the harms of tobacco use in this big tobacco marketing?
That's a good question. So at NYC Smoke Free, we love community involvement. We need all the support we can get. And so we often meet with our local elected officials, as I mentioned before. We love to have constituents join us because it's a much more powerful argument, really, to rid our communities of tobacco products and tobacco smoke if we have constituents with us. And so one way to keep in touch with us is to go on the NYC Smoke Free website, nycsmokefree.org, and you can sign up for our newsletter and get on our email list so that you can be informed about all the opportunities. And also following us on social media as well. Our handle is NYC at NYC Smoke Free.
Wow, this is
And we can
what an
keep you in touch
opportunity.
about opportunities, but also just making it clear to whether you're smelling tobacco smoke in your own building, whether you see it in your communities, and really just vocalizing that this is not okay. And then hopefully it'll trickle down to us as well. Brittany, any thoughts about how to get involved in the youth side?
Yeah, of course. So if you are, if there are folks in your family or in your peer group that are interested in, supporting NYC Smoke Free initiatives, particularly related to, youth involvement, and the various initiatives we mentioned, you can also feel free to reach out. You can check out Reality Check, even for folks who are not interested, or sorry, not living in the city. Throughout the state, we have a bunch of different Reality Check chapters for teens 13 to 18 who are interested. Also in New Jersey, there's a ton of tobacco control programs. Each state has, some kind of state-led movement to, try to protect communities, particularly vulnerable communities like young people, from becoming this like next new consumer of a product that we know to be deadly.
Oh, that's awesome. So there are a lot of opportunities for our loyal listeners to get involved. We could talk all day, team. Sadly, time is short. We've only got about 6 minutes. I still got some important questions though to ask. Star, how blessed Colombia must be to have you there. I guess if you see people smoking or vaping, you're able to kind of give them a little nudge, possibly. I don't know if you've been able to do this or how that works there, sir.
So, well, obviously, it's a college campus, so I've absolutely seen a lot of people smoking. Actually, a wide majority of people smoke. Even people who, like, on a surface level, you would look at them and think they probably don't. They actually do. I've seen someone from a class of mine who I wouldn't have initially thought smoked. I saw them, like, smoking outside. And there's or use similar substances, and there's even like this unspoken rule that like a large library on campus is like kind of a designated smoke area. So oftentimes after maybe four, actually, yeah, after four, a lot of people tend to congregate in front of said library and smoke, vape, etc., and just like kind of
Oh, wow.
converse with each other.
Sure, it becomes almost a social thing. Oh, well, thank
Yeah.
God again you're there to really be a person of truth and to bring a better way of life for them. Now, I'd be curious, I would imagine we have so many listeners here, and thank God for Monday, at least a few of them are vaping or smoking or both, and they want to free themselves. They want that Franciscan freedom from their smoking. Brittany, are there some resources, support available? Any of our listeners want to quit smoking or vaping? And how can they
Yeah.
access these resources, please?
Great. Great question. So there's a couple different resources that are accessible. So in New York City in particular, there's a program called This Is Quitting, which is like a text-based program for young folks, particularly who are vaping. So you can check out This Is Quitting. You can just Google This Is Quitting NYC, and that's one start. And then just generally throughout the state, the New York State Quit Line is also a great resource. So you can like text, chat, call, to speak to like a cessation counselor. So the number is 866 NY quits. So 866-697-8487. And they can connect you to support for like other kinds of evidence-based cessation tactics like the patch or lozenges or gum to kind of help you push through some of those like urges that you might be experiencing when you're trying to withdraw from a nicotine addiction like you would when you're stop trying to quit cigarettes. Also in NYC we have a sister grant, NYC Treats Tobacco. They work with healthcare providers to create systems and protocols so that patients are screened for potential tobacco use and then are offered support in quitting if they're interested. So if you see your doctor, you could talk to your doctor about potential cessation. And yeah, we just encourage, Great American Smoke Out, the first day of quitting in November.
Ah, that is so awesome. Now, as we said, a little later on in November is this Great American Smokeout Thursday, November 16. It's always the Thursday before Thanksgiving. I'd be very curious. We have a lot of listeners now who are non-smokers. Is this a day that they could maybe help out? How do you suggest, Julia, our loyal listeners, especially the ones who don't smoke, how should they spend this Great American Smokeout?
Yeah, I mean, I think that overall, just being very supportive of your friends and family and loved ones who would like to quit and letting them know that this even exists, right? That the Great American Smokeout is a thing. And we're all in it together and we're all here to support them quitting for just one day. And that will hopefully lead to longer. We at NYC Smoke Free are organizing an event at our central office. The details are being hashed out as we speak, so stay tuned. And if
Wonderful.
you just follow NYC Smoke Free on social media and our website, we'll hopefully have the details soon about a gathering we'll have that's going to be educational and community building, just around our programs and how to support the community at large. So stay tuned for that. Unfortunately, there's no sort of central registry for any GASO event that's happening in the area. But if you do Google the Great American Smokeout events, which I just did earlier, and you can see some organizations that are also participating.
Terrific. Could you give that website address again, NYC Smoke Free, Julia, please?
Yes, it's www.nycsmokefree.org.
Great. Couldn't be any easier. Listeners, no excuse. Please, please, please jump into that website, follow these great people on social media. Whether you smoke or not, there's a lot of things that you can do to improve the workplace, to improve the world. We've had three great Franciscans with us today. They could have just held on to the good. No, they shared their wonderful good by coming on Thank God for Monday today. Now it's your turn. Get into this website, follow them on social media, and do our parts, in particular on the 16th of November, the Great American Smokeout Day, to create a better world. We can't thank Julia and Brittany and Star enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. We've been certainly enlightened, but we've been inspired. We really need to do our parts to have a better world, a healthier world, and by being smoke-free and helping to promulgate smoke-free workplaces and worlds, and we can do that certainly. So thank you all for coming on today. It's been a great, great pleasure. Continued success, joy, and great contribution in this fabulous work of God and Francis that all three of you are doing.
Thank you so much, Brother
Thank
Greg.
you.
The pleasure has been all ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Star and Brittany and Julia do, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, bye-bye, everyone. Have a great week.